good morning.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So Angus, how much of a toll is climate change having on our world today?
A lot, obviously. I will make a slight correction to your intro and say that it's not just one of the big issues, it is the big issue.
Mm.
I think that discourse is definitely something that we as young people need to change, and prioritising saying that climate change is literally the biggest issue that we're dealing with right now, which I know is hard to talk about because it's kind of terrifying.
Well, why exactly is it the biggest issue we're facing?
Well, because, I mean, not to be too dramatic about it, it does threaten our entire way of life and civilization. I mean, sit down with a climate scientist 5 minutes with a coffee and you'll be packing your bags for Tasmania, because that's what all climate scientists are doing, which is terrifying. I was hearing them talk on the radio the other day and they were saying that they talk, you know, in their circles, and they're literally all planning on retiring to Tasmania and places down south, because by the time that they retire, you know, places like Sydney, where we live now, are going to be so hot and are going to be so, so affected by climate change. And this is something that people don't realise as well. Australia is the most vulnerable developed country to climate change.
Really?
Yes.
Like, I like to think I'm fairly well educated, but I had no idea. That's terrifying.
Yeah, I saw a climate scientist at the Sydney Writers Festival and she dropped that bomb and I was like, okay. But anyway, on to answering your actual question. I mean, at the moment, it's estimated that global temperatures have risen by about 0.8 degrees, which doesn't sound like much, but that's enough to reduce the volume of summer ice in the Arctic by 80% and increase the ocean's acidity by 30%. That's 0.8. And, you know, in the discourse, we're talking about a rise of 2 to 4 degrees. Can you imagine the catastrophic impacts that will have? Also, by 2030, the World Health Organization estimates that 250,000 people will have lost their lives directly because of climate change, because of heat waves made by climate change and extreme weather events, and obviously droughts and food shortages that are also caused by rising worldwide temperatures and weather destabilization.
That's horrifying. And it's already happening now. We can see, you know, like because of weather, people, you know, smog, people are dying from smog in China,
yep.
In India. Mm-hmm. It's pretty terrifying. What impact do you think this will have on society if it does go ahead?
I mean, it's obviously hard to tell because it's hypothetical, but pretty freaking catastrophic. I mean, sea level rise is a great example. The Climate Council just released a report about just the economic impacts of sea level rise in Australia. And, you know, we're quite a high country and we're not particularly susceptible to tsunamis and things like that. But even then, we're looking at trillions of dollars worth of damage here, because the vast majority of our population and the vast majority of our infrastructure is on the coast. I mean, we're already seeing that. I mean, people, you know, you can look at the Queensland floods and people don't necessarily look at that and equate it with climate change. But because of sea level rise, and yes, it's only a couple of millimetres, but it's across the whole ocean. When we have events like that, it's incredibly magnetized because of all those extra billions of litres of water in the ocean that is happening because the ice caps are melting.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. And what is being done to combat climate change here in Australia?
This is the problem. Nothing. Nothing is being done.
Nothing?
Well, essentially. Well, obviously not nothing, but it feels like nothing because, proportionately, nothing is being done to alleviate the effects that are coming at us really, really quickly, at least on a political level. I mean, we're seeing this ongoing Adani debate, which is just ridiculous. And the fact that, you know, all the major banks have pulled out, the fact that 65% of Australians don't agree with the mine going ahead is not enough to stop the federal government from considering funding this thing, when we know that if the coal in the Galilee Basin is exported and combusted, that will propel us 10 to 30% towards our Paris Climate Agreement. That will take us, so the Paris Climate Agreement, we agreed to keep temperature rise below 2%. If we go ahead with this mine, which is increasingly feasible because the federal government is just intent on dragging it over the line, we'll push the entire globe 10 to 30% towards that 2% temperature rise.
20% from just one mine. That's
a huge amount of coal.
That's crazy.
That's a huge amount of coal.
Terrifying. Yep. Wow. If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're talking to Angus Dalton, the editor-in-chief of Macquarie University student publication, Grapeshot. about the problem of climate change and, well, what Australia is doing about it. Well, you mentioned how the government's unwilling to stop the Adani mine. Last night's budget allocated $500 million to reduce the impact of climate change on the Great Barrier Reef. Now, do you think this is a sign the Australian government is finally listening to Australians and potentially taking some form of action on climate change?
Quite the opposite, because that half a billion dollars we're talking about here, if I've got my maths right, is going towards things that are complete band-aid solutions that will be temporary. I mean, we're talking about, you know, removal of the spiny thorn starfish, which everyone knows is really devastating on the reef. But at the end of the day, all scientists are in agreement. And if you look at the guy who came up with these statistics, in the fact that 30% of the coral on the reef has now died and 50% of coral affected by bleaching has now died permanently, he is up in arms about this because he's like, you can, yeah, give $500 million to try and fix the reef. But if you're not addressing the issue of climate change, if we don't stop, we're the biggest exporter of coal in the world. If we don't stop that, that's $500 million wasted. I mean, they're talking about fans to cool down the water. And this is like these massive fans that will apparently cool down the water. And independent reviews and independent scientists have just dragged them across the coals, being like, are you serious?
That's, it sounds like something from Futurama or The Simpsons, like a giant fan.
Yes.
Call it, like, what?
It's as ineffective and ridiculous as it sounds. Yeah, so at the end of the day, if that $500 million should have gone towards subsidizing like renewable energy. But instead in this budget, we've seen them cut subsidies for renewable energy, which is just ridiculous. I mean, it's just complete. I mean, it's like we're living in a dystopia. Like, how could they be doing this without listening to what climate scientists are saying? And at least listening to Guy, who has been studying the roof, Terry Hughes is his name, go to his Twitter feed and you will see him poke holes in this budget and poke holes in the government's so-called plan to save the Barrier Reef in a matter of seconds.
Definitely check out Terry Hughes' Twitter. That sounds pretty shocking what the government is doing. Or who exactly has the power to appeal for change to government policy, would you say? Like, students? Like, what can we do?
I mean, it's definitely us, and I definitely think that we need to have climate change as a priority when we go into the voting box, because at the end of the day, obviously, there's so many different issues that affect people day to day, but we need to start prioritising this, because otherwise we're going to be dealing with it in 20 years' time, and it might be sort of too late. Actually, it will be very too late.
Well, so it feels like there's a lot of permanent damage already.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, I think as students, and, you know, I sort of read the article that you mentioned in the intro, because I was reading this book by a guy called David McKnight, and it's called Populism Now. I think it just came out. And he was sort of making the point that maybe our federal government, even if it wasn't full of friggin' climate deniers and full of, you know, people who are mates with, you know, the Minerals Council and the fossil fuel industry, even if we had a government who wanted to take bold steps towards mitigating climate change, that they wouldn't be able to do it, because at the end of the day, the government is sort of slave to the short term and slave to, I guess, making baby steps when we cannot afford to make baby steps at this point.
Right. And, well, as editor of a student publication, in your opinion, how do you think Australian students can make a difference on this issue?
I mean, we can definitely set the agenda. I mean, I think, you know, we've definitely proven that the student voice is powerful. And I mean, you can sort of see that because for the last 2 years, we've actually been, student media has been locked out for the first time. It's been locked out of the budget lockup because, you know, the government has embarked on what some people are calling this war against young people. And maybe they don't want our voices in there to be in a position where we can critique them in a strong way with the same sway of other sort of mainstream media institutions. And I think we are starting to finally prioritize climate change and, I mean, again, it's a generational divide. Like, my grandpa is like a really smart man, but he doesn't believe in climate change. And I'm like, that's what happens when you freaking subscribe to The Australian. So we're looking for places that take us seriously and take fact and science seriously, because we're not seeing that from a lot of mainstream media publications or the government.
Well, hopefully something can happen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Angus.
You are welcome. I hope you have some lighter and brighter content coming up.
Well, I think we do.
Yay!
Well, we'll find out very shortly, won't we? Thank you so much for joining us, Angus.
Thank you for having me.